Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.
Welcome back to the podcast. My name is DeAndre Nicolette. If you're new here, my love, welcome. I'm super excited to have you tuned in for your first ever episode of Manifest Daily. And of course, to my OG listeners, you already know the vibes. Okay, hey girl, hey. Hey boy, hey, what's poppin', what's good? Welcome back to another episode of your fave. I feel like it's been a minute since I've talked to y'all, and I know it really hasn't. It's literally been like a week. Well, I guess two technically since we missed last week, but every single time I miss a week, when I come back, I'm like, oh my God, how do I do my intro? How do I talk? Like, how do we get into tea? Cause it just feels like I have to get back into my own little workflow and my own little routine. And I just feel like I have so many things to update y'all on, but I'm like, where do I actually start? One thing that's been on my mind that I did want to talk about on this episode today is boundaries and setting boundaries in your life. And I've had a couple of y'all DM me and ask this question, and we've talked about this on several different episodes. Do I have an episode on boundaries specifically? If not, I definitely should and will do an episode specifically on this and just taking some time to talk about this for the entirety of the episode. However, I wanted to touch on it today because with this full moon in Aries, I remember I talked to you guys about this in the October energy report. This full moon was really highlighting, again, self and other, right? Where are we sacrificing our well-being, our mental health, our spiritual health, our energy for the sake of someone else? And I feel like that can happen in so many different situations, right? In a family situation, in a friendship situation, in a romantic situation, maybe at work. There can be so many of those areas where we want to show up so well for someone else. And maybe it's because we want to see them thrive, or we want to see them happy, or we want to perform well, or whatever the case is, that we can sacrifice so much of ourselves to give to another person. I also think that when you identify as a good person, you generally want to be there for people, right? So you want to show up, you want to be the shoulder that people can cry on. You want to be the person that someone can come and talk to. You want to be there for people in a greater capacity because you believe that you're a good person and that's what a good person would do. And while I do feel like that's important, right, to offer support to people, because that's something that I feel passionate about doing, there's also making sure that you have a balance there and you draw the line somewhere and you set specific boundaries. Because if you're not careful, going into a relationship where someone is coming in and dumping stuff on you all the time, you can get into a space where you're noticing that every single time that person comes in and you have an interaction with them, you're walking away drained and tired and completely exhausted, and they're walking away on cloud nine. As I continue to grow and evolve and learn more lessons in my life, there are so many more of these situations where I'm really forced to like put into practice the lessons that I've learned and the lessons that I've been working on. Because it's one thing to sit here and talk about boundaries. Like, I'm sure we could sit here and talk about boundaries all day, but it's another thing when you're in a situation where you've set boundaries and maybe someone does not observe those boundaries and you have to evaluate, what do I do next? Because it's easier said than done, right? It's easier to say, I'm gonna set a boundary. I'm gonna have this conversation. I'm gonna cut this relationship off if they're not respecting my boundaries. It's so much harder to be in the actual situation and to have to decide that for your literal well-being, for your literal mental health, that you have to make this very tough decision. This full moon in particular brought up a lot of that for me, like a lot of just like really reevaluating relationships, really reevaluating specific boundaries. Like I've had so many different situations in the past, I would say like the past 2 or 3 months with like all of this very, 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 very like vibrant energy, this very strong energy, where specific decisions that I've made or specific relationships that I've sort of entered into with only knowing so much have turned out to not be what I thought they were. And so I had to go back and say, okay, well, now that I have the facts in front of me, now that I know what this is, and now that I realize like it's not serving me, it's actually dragging me down, what do I do from here? Because again, it's one thing to say, when shit hits the fan, you're gonna be out. But like when it actually hits the fan, when you're really tested, when you have to put these lessons into practice, like what do you do? If you set a specific boundary with someone and you are very clear about a line that they cannot cross when it comes to you, and that person actively and consciously makes a decision to cross that line, what are you going to do? Realistically, what are you going to do? Because when we set boundaries, I think a lot of times when we do it, we almost feel like, okay, this is the boundary that I'm setting. And so the person knows, right? They know that this is going to bother me. They know this is going to trigger me. So they're going to not cross that boundary. But again, easier said than done. Very simple to just assume that once you set a boundary, everyone else is going to observe it. Everyone else is going to be like, oh yeah, that's you know, Deandre's boundary. Like, we're not going to cross that. But that's not how people work all the time, right? We're very complex beings. And so when someone crosses that line, what are you going to do? Because part of setting boundaries is also the observing boundaries part, and also respecting yourself enough to say, if this person crosses this line that I've set, I have to make a decision from here. And what is that decision going to be? Whenever I'm setting boundaries with someone, I also am thinking about what is going to happen. What will I do? What will my reaction be if they cross that boundary? Will this be a conversation? Will I, you know, decide that this relationship needs to end? I think it gets harder and a little bit trickier when it comes to family. I know specifically like my family can definitely trigger me in so many ways and cross specific boundaries, because I think that's honestly what a lot of family does, is like trigger us in many different ways. With a lot of the boundaries that I've set with my parents specifically, it's not something where I'm like, okay, if they cross this boundary, I'm cutting them off. I might decide to have another conversation with them, but I'm not disowning my parents. Versus I know for specific people in my life that aren't my parents, like if I, you know, meet someone and I'm getting to know someone, and maybe it's in a platonic sense or in a romantic sense, specific boundaries that I've set, if I am looking at you as a potential life partner and there's something that's a very hard line for me and you cross that line, well, you are no longer an option for a potential partner. If I'm looking at you as a potential friend, right? And I take that term, that label so heavily, like that's not a light thing for me. If you're a friend, you are a friend to me. You feel me? So if I'm looking at you as a potential friend and I set a specific boundary and you cross that boundary, well, you're no longer a potential friend to me. Now that relationship, that possibility for us to become really good friends, or that possibility for you to be involved in my life, like your access has been revoked, because I've realized what specific boundaries for me cannot be crossed. I have hard lines that cannot be crossed. When I say that to someone, when I set those boundaries, I also know that it's not a bluff. You feel me? It's like if you decide to play yourself and to cross that boundary after I've clearly outlined what it is for me, then I mean, it's nothing I could do for you. It's literally nothing I could do for you at this point. You have to be cut off for the sake of my mental health, for the sake of my well-being. Because at the end of the day, I am not going to sacrifice myself. I'm not going to put myself in danger. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I can be very triggered, very hurt. I can be in a toxic relationship with anyone. Because why would I do that to myself? So when you're setting boundaries, when you're dealing with vampire energy, when you're dealing with parasitic energy, people who are crossing boundaries, if you are setting boundaries and they are crossing those boundaries, you need to evaluate, because half of the job is on you. Yeah, you told them, this is my boundary, this is my line, don't cross it. But what if they test that? What if they test that? What if they decide, oh, I'm across this line? What if they decide that they do not care about your boundary? What if they show you that your literal boundaries, the things that you said trigger you, the things that you said hurt you, the things that you said anger you, what if they show you that they don't care? And then what if they show you over and over and over again that they don't care? If someone is consistently showing you that they don't respect your boundaries, and you are still allowing them to have a very prominent position in your life, then you cannot be upset about how that relationship affects you. You can be upset about it, but listen, you're allowing that to happen. Like, this person has shown you consistently they don't care. This person has shown you consistently that they are willing to cross that line. And it's one thing for someone to cross the line and to really be very apologetic and for you to have a conversation. And maybe, you know, again, we're complex beings. Maybe there's something that they learned in childhood that they experienced that taught them that they should be crossing boundaries. I don't know. Like, that's something that you have to work out. And again, that's why I say every specific dynamic and every boundary is different. So as you're exploring relationships, like, you have to know, when I set this boundary, if this person crosses this boundary, what is my response going to be? And your response to your mom versus to a potential partner versus to a potential friend versus to an employer, they're going to be different responses. They're going to be totally different responses. With an employer, you're not going to, you might quit your job. Like, you might decide, like, this employer, I've spoken up multiple times, and like, this is a very toxic relationship because they keep crossing this boundary. So you might decide, I need to find a different job. I need to leave this environment. I need to get myself out of this relationship with this person because it's very, very toxic. But again, with a parent, you might say, I really want my parent in my life. And like, you know, maybe that means having to go to counseling with that parent. Maybe that means having to go to counseling by yourself, but it's going to be a different response. But literally, you have to figure out, like, what are you doing? What will your response be when someone crosses that boundary? Because if they do, now it's up to you to decide what happens from here, because you set the line. They've crossed it. Now the ball is in your court. What is your response? I hope that resonated. Like I said, I know boundaries are complex. And when it comes to just any of these things that we talk about on the show, they're so complex. So being able to go to therapy or to have a specific support system where you're able to actually talk through the different things that you're experiencing will be really helpful, because I'm obviously speaking about these things from my experience and my perspective, but your situation is going to be a little bit different. But hopefully that resonated for any of y'all that are specifically struggling with setting boundaries or with making sure that people are observing and respecting your boundaries. So we're going to switch gears now, and we're going to dive into the chats all about solo dates, taking yourself on solo dates, etc. So grab you a beverage of choice. I literally have my Dunkin' iced coffee right next to me that I'm sipping on. I've been like obsessed with going there in the mornings these days because, like, y'all know it reminds me of home. So I'll go and I'll get a small iced latte with oat milk and extra caramel, no whip. And it's so good. And today I got decaf because I was like, we trying to wean off the caffeine a little bit, you know, from the coffee. But I'm trying these new nootropics, and I just realized that some of the pills and like the pack that I'm testing have a caffeine pill. So I'm like, actually really good that I got decaf today, because I literally just took a caffeine pill. So yeah. But let's go ahead and dive into chat. Grab your water, grab your tequila, baby. It might be the morning here, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And let's go ahead and dive into the conversation all about solo dates. So for the first part of this conversation, I want to chat about some tips for going on solo dates. I know that taking yourself on a date or going out somewhere by yourself can be a little bit intimidating at first, especially because, like, I don't know, even though you're literally just sitting there and having a meal like by yourself, it just feels kind of weird, because I feel like I've always associated going out to eat with going out with like friends or going out with my family or being in a group of some sort, or at least being with like one other person. And so doing it by yourself, you almost feel like there's a spotlight on you. Like people are like, why she there by herself? Not her lonely, not her alone or just sitting there eating by herself. Meanwhile, ain't nobody paying attention. Like meanwhile, nobody cares about you sitting there eating your avocado toast by yourself. Or even if they do notice you, a lot of times, like if I've gone out to eat by myself and someone notices me, or I'm like chatting it up with the bartender or the waitress or whatever, they're like, that's so cool that you're like here by yourself and that you're eating by yourself. And I'm like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? So if anything, and people do notice you, more often than not, they're respecting the fact that you're there by yourself. They're actually looking up to you and being like, damn, like she really here, or he really here by himself, having a whole good time, don't need nobody else. Okay, bet. Like, that's the energy I'm trying to embody. So really just recognize that and like remember that nobody cares. If you kind of want to hear more about like that specific aspect of it, I have a whole episode on social anxiety, because like y'all know, well maybe you don't know, I'm just awkward as hell and I be socially anxious. So I talk about some of my tips for helping with social anxiety in that episode, and that like the stuff I talk about in that episode in particular are tips and things that I implement when going out to eat and going out on solo dates, because it just helps me to feel more comfortable. But in this episode, I'm specifically giving y'all tips that are related to like solo dates and not just like social activity in general. So the first tip I have is to plan for off hours when it's less busy. So this is one that I think really matters if you're talking about doing something like going out on a dinner date with yourself or going to like a specific place where you know it be people there. I'm gonna give y'all a really prime example. So there's this coffee shop here in Dallas called La La Land Kind Cafe. I think they opened up some in California too, but essentially it's just like a really cute little coffee shop. It's like all bright yellow stuff or whatever. One thing about La La Land, it's folk gonna be there, okay? People will be gathered there. So especially on the weekends, like if you go to La La Land, any of the locations here on the weekend, I swear to you, like no joke, it's lines around the door. Like it's giving very much like cult energy. And like, you know, like cultish, but like not like cult, but like kind of cult, you know what I mean? So it's, I mean, the coffee's good, but like, I don't know. I think the vibes are just giving there for people, and they like the energy of like the people there, because they, every time you walk in, they're like, we love you. And when you leave, they tell you they love you, and everything is like bright and yellow and fun. So I think it's just good vibes. But one thing I know is that you will never catch me trying to pop up at La La Land for a solo date on a Saturday morning. Why? Because it's everybody and their mama there. So I know that for me, that kind of like triggers my social anxiety. That triggers me feeling like, oh my God, are people watching me? Are they paying attention? Like, am I feeling awkward because literally everyone is here with like their boyfriend or girlfriend or like friends, and I'm just here by myself. So for me, I know that it can spark those feelings of like discomfort being in a situation like that. And while I think that going on solo dates is like creating some opportunity for discomfort for you, right? For you to push yourself outside of your comfort zone, I don't necessarily think that you need to go from 0 to 100. You feel me? So like going from maybe not doing any solo dates to going to like a packed ass coffee shop on a Saturday morning and sitting there in the middle of a crowd and being uncomfortable, that doesn't really feel like the vibe. But like what I might do is go to La La Land on like a Wednesday morning and work from there. And this is like more of a work thing, not an actual like solo date. Or yeah, I mean, you could call this a solo date, but when I go and work remotely, I don't count those as like work or solo dates, because for me, I'm getting work done. So, you know, if I have like a day off or something and I want to go to La La Land and I know it's an off time, because you know on Google, you can check to see when places will be busy. If you've never done this before, if you like Google a specific location and you have the address, if you go and you scroll like right below the timestamp, or not the timestamp, like the hours for the place, Google will tell you, oh, this place is usually busy around this time and less busy around this time. So I love that feature. That future, somebody at Google has social anxiety and they said, baby, we got to put this on here. And bless your heart, bless your soul, because it helps me. I literally use that thing all the time. So I will go to places when it's off hours, off peak hours. For if I do like working sessions and stuff like that, I don't mind going to a coffee shop and it being peak hours, like there's one place that I go to that like if I go there at like 9 a.m., like that's peak hours. And a lot of people work remotely from that coffee shop, so I know it'll be like a little bit more busy, but I don't mind. I got my AirPods in, I'm getting work done, like whatever. It's a different vibe than a solo date. But for solo dates, I'm like, no, we gonna plan for the off peak hours because we ain't trying to be around too many folk, okay? So that's like my first tip, especially when you're starting off. Like, you don't need to go from 0 to 100. It's not that deep. Just go, you know, off peak hours, okay? The next tip I have for y'all is to recognize the energy that you're in. And I mean, recognize whether you're going somewhere where you're open to chatting with people, or if you want to go somewhere and you truly want to be solo. When you set that intention, you kind of walk into a place with a certain type of energy. And I think when you're going for like the second one, if you're going for like, I really just want to be by myself, like I don't want to be bothered, I want to be solo, I think that's when you can also introduce something like a buffer. And I mean like AirPods, a book, a magazine, I don't know, maybe you're on your phone, like something like that, so that if you go to dinner or you go to lunch or you go, I don't know, you go wherever you go and you have AirPods in or you're reading a book, most people, not everybody now, but most people will see you and be like, okay, you know, she's in her zone, he's in his zone, like I'm not gonna bother them. Like maybe it's a waiter or waitress or bartender or whatever, they'll ask you, you know, what are you eating today, they'll get your order, but they'll like not initiate conversation as much. I remember when I first moved here and I would go on my solo dates, I would always bring a buffer. So I used to bring a book. And I remember specifically going to this one restaurant and I had a book with me. And, you know, the waiter wasn't really making that much conversation. I think he asked me like, oh, like, what are you reading? And we talked about it for like a minute or two. But for the most part, he kept to himself. I kept to myself. I was there reading my book. I wanted to kind of be in my own zone, in my own bubble. Versus the other day, I went out to a bar. I went to get sushi and I sat at the bar that was kind of like outside patio situation. It was a really nice day too. And I didn't have my AirPods with me. I didn't have a book with me, and I had my phone, but I wasn't really on my phone like that. Like I remember I answered some text messages, but I would put my phone down, I would flip it over, and I would just be people watching and like looking around. And that was a completely different experience because the bartender could tell that I was open for interaction. So he and I were having like conversations. He would like go and, you know, help other people out, but they were either at the bar with a buffer or with another person. So he would kind of come back to me and we would have, you know, little chats here and there in between him serving other people. So it was a completely different experience because I had a buffer in one situation and I had no buffer in another situation. So depending on what energy you're in, have that decide whether you bring a buffer or not. I know when a lot of people start going on solo dates, they say like bring your AirPods and like call someone or bring a book. And I think that's great advice. Again, if A, you're just starting out and you're kind of like warming up to the idea of going out to eat by yourself and you're getting more comfortable with it, or B, you know that you just don't want to be bothered. Like there are times now where if I do go out, I'm more comfortable now going out to eat by myself and things like that. But if I'm reading a really good book, like I think the other day I went to California Pizza Kitchen and I'm totally cool with like going out around like lunch hours, getting lunch by myself, things like that. But I remember that day I was in the middle of a really good thriller, girl, and I was right at the end. I was like, listen, I gotta see what the hell going on in this book right here. So I brought my Kindle to the bar and I was sat right at the bar reading my book, and no one bothered me because they could see that I had something with me and that I was like caught up in a specific situation with this book. So let that basically inform the whole buffer, no buffer situation. And once you get to a point where you're a little bit more comfortable with going out, you're a little bit more comfortable with putting yourself out there, challenge yourself to go sit somewhere at a bar or go to lunch or go somewhere and really just be present in that energy. No AirPods, no book. If you're on your phone, if you have your phone with you, don't be on your phone too often and see who comes in. Because one thing that I love to say too is when you're by yourself and you have that open energy, you've set that intention that you are open and welcoming to interactions, people will approach you. People will walk up to you. They'll chat with you. They'll be like, oh, you know, beautiful day. And you're like, oh yeah, it is. And then, you know, one minute you talking about the weather, next minute you talking about life, girl. You talking about how time don't exist, existentialism. And it gets deep and it gets fun. So really set the intention before choosing your date and before going out and figure out whether or not you're going to bring a buffer because of that intention that you've set.
Thank you.
When I decided to audit my wellness routine and implement changes, one of the first things I looked at was my supplements. I wanted to simplify my daily supplements, so I decided to try AG1. And let me just say, this was one of the best decisions that I made in 2023. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I also love that every single scoop includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. Since drinking AG1 daily, I've noticed that I feel more energized and my mental clarity and my ability to manage and recover from stress have improved. I used to rely on a ton of different supplements. If y'all remember my little pill box, then you know, okay? And I use these supplements to help me feel calm and more alert, but I just love how simplified my morning routine has become with AG1. Adding AG1 in the morning covers my bases with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and ingredients like pre- and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and nutrients sourced from whole foods. Let me just tell y'all what my favorite part of this entire thing is. You only need to take one scoop, literally one scoop a day, every single day, mixed with water. That is it. It's giving very much work smarter, not harder, even with what you put in your body. AG1 is the supplement that I trust and have trusted since 2023 to provide the support that my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. That's drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. Check it out.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
When I decided to audit my wellness routine and implement changes, one of the first things I looked at was my supplements. I wanted to simplify my daily supplements, so I decided to try AG1. And let me just say, this was one of the best decisions that I made in 2023. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I also love that every single scoop includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. Since drinking AG1 daily, I've noticed that I feel more energized and my mental clarity and my ability to manage and recover from stress have improved. I used to rely on a ton of different supplements. If y'all remember my little pill box, then you know, okay? And I use these supplements to help me feel calm and more alert, but I just love how simplified my morning routine has become with AG1. Adding AG1 in the morning covers my bases with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and ingredients like pre- and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and nutrients sourced from whole foods. Let me just tell y'all what my favorite part of this entire thing is. You only need to take one scoop, literally one scoop a day, every single day, mixed with water. That is it. It's giving very much work smarter, not harder, even with what you put in your body. AG1 is the supplement that I trust and have trusted since 2023 to provide the support that my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. That's drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. Check it out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I'm going to merge tip number 4 and 5 because I just merged number 2 and 3 in that last one. But my next tip or tips rather are to 1, make reservations when you can. Put this in your calendar and truly respect your time. Respect the date that you've set for yourself. And the second part of that would be to dress up, like use your favorite perfume, treat it as an actual date. I think sometimes, or at least I know that I kind of used to be this way. It's like if I was going on like an actual actual date with like another person. So whether it's like a friendship date or going out on a date with a guy, I would get like really nice dressed up, do my hair, do my makeup, wear me my nice perfume. I'm pulling out the Baccarat Rouge 540, girl. You already know what the vibe is giving. And I would just get so excited, you know what I'm saying? And it would be like a whole thing. Like I would set aside a few hours to get ready and really honor my time and get excited, play certain music, and just make it a whole, like a whole routine, a whole production, if you will, to get ready, because I like that, right? It's Taurus vibes, okay? I noticed that sometimes with my solo dates, I would just be like, okay, you know, if I'm going to like the movies real quick, like I'm gonna just, you know, toss on some leggings and put on this shirt and like whatever, because it's just me. I'm not really seeing anyone else. And like the movies is dark anyways. And I had to start reframing that. And I started to do that by one, making reservations, putting things in my calendar. So for my movies, I literally will purchase a ticket in advance. I usually like, if I know I'm gonna go to a movie on a Saturday, I will literally purchase my ticket on like a Wednesday or so when the times for Saturday are up and I can see exactly what movies are going to be out and released that day. I will set aside time and make a reservation for lunch at the restaurant that I want to go to. I will make sure that it's in my calendar and the time is blocked off, because I want to reframe it and re-understand it as something where this is a special time. This is time that I'm setting aside for myself. This is time that is so important to me, that is so important to my day, that I'm going to make sure that it's in my calendar. When I look at my time blocks, like it says like, you know, movies, and it says like dinner with myself or lunch with myself or whatever, lunch at whatever restaurant I'm going to. And I also started to get dressed up. So I started to do that because, again, like getting dressed up and getting ready is something that I genuinely enjoy doing, especially when I'm going out with other people. And I was like, well, why am I not bringing that same energy to going out with myself? Just because I'm not going to be around other people and be chatty with other people in a date setting doesn't mean that I don't deserve to, like, you know, give that same energy to myself. So I started getting dressed up, and that would mean, I remember one time I went on a dinner date the other day and I wore this really cute, like form-fitting black dress. I did my makeup, I did my hair, I put on heels, I wore jewelry, put on a nice perfume. And it was just a whole ass vibe. There are times where if I'm going out to lunch, like I'll do my makeup and I'll do my hair and I'll pick out a really nice, like fun outfit, like a cute dress or something. Like I'll shave my legs. It literally is the same vibe, the same production, if you will, as what I would do if I were going out with someone else. So really honoring your time, honoring your energy, honoring the fact that, no, this isn't just like, oh, I'm gonna just go to movies and have me a day at the movies real quick. It's like, no, you are going on a date with yourself. Like if you were to go on a date with anyone else, how would you act? How excited would you be? How would you dress? How would you do your makeup? How would you do your hair? What perfume would you wear? How would you approach it? Like bring that same energy to yourself. You deserve it. You feel me? You deserve it. You are literally the best date you are ever gonna have in your life. So make sure that you treat yourself like that and really honor yourself in that way. So that is like one of my favorite things. And I love creating the reservations and stuff because it makes it even more special to you when you get, like, I use OpenTable. So when I get that text and it's like, you have your reservation coming up. And yes, I do sit there and make a reservation for one. I know the hell they like, girl, what you doing? What? Not really, because no one actually cares. So remember that too. Like when you're sitting there and you're like panicked about, oh my God, should I make a reservation for one or should I go sit at the bar? I think it's definitely fun to go sit at the bar. And sitting at the bar is also cool too, because you can meet other people, you can chat with the bartender. But there are times too when I just want to go sit at a table and want to make a reservation in that way. Also, you can still make a reservation, and when you show up, like you don't have to sit at the table. Like you can show up for your reservation and you can say, I made a reservation for, you know, whatever time, like I'm gonna sit at the bar. So making the reservation doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be forced to sit at the table in the middle of the restaurant. Like you can choose your own seating, especially because you're one person, and it's gonna be so much easier for you to be like, oh, I'm gonna go sit at the bar real quick because there's a spot open, versus if you're like a group of like five and you're trying to, you know, show up with no reservation or show up and sit at the bar. So to wrap up today's episode, I wanted to give y'all a couple of solo date ideas, which, you know, I'm sure you already have your thoughts, but these are some of my faves. So if you are looking for something to do or to try by yourself, these are some things I would suggest. The first is seeing a movie. Now, I don't know why it took me so long to start going to the movies by myself, but I kid you not, the first time I did it, I was like, oh, baby, this is my new thing right here. Like the movies. Yes, yes. First of all, you could bring in your own snacks. Well, I mean, I don't think they say you could do that, but sneak them in, like bring you a bag and bring them in, okay? So you could bring your little snacks in. You could bring in a blanket. It's kind of cold in there. I go to a movie theater where the seats like recline, like they have the thing where you could put your feet up. So I'll be putting my feet up. I'll be bringing like a little jacket, bundle up in the movies with my mini Oreos. Oh, a whole vibe. And it's so different too, because like when I watch movies at home by myself, I get distracted. Like I'll be on my phone. I might go on Instagram. I might call my mom. Like I'm doing so many things and multitasking when I watch movies at home. It's not great, I know. I'm working more on being focused as I watch movies, or, you know, being very present in whatever I do while I'm at home. But when you go to the actual movie theater, like you're forced to be present. You are not taking out your phone. You are not talking to other people. Like you're there and you're watching the movie. That's literally what you're there to do. So it's really nice. And also it's dark. Like it's dark, no one's there. So if you're nervous about being seen by yourself out and about, like if that's kind of something that you're working through, going to the movies is a really good way to start. Because one, if you buy the ticket in advance, like I mentioned, you don't really have to deal with anyone when you go to the movie. Like you don't have to buy the ticket from them. You just show up, you show them your thing. They're like, theater three, you go to theater three, you walk to your seat and you in the dark. Ain't nobody know you there. They don't know who you with or not with. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it is a very, very nice way to kind of like put your toe in, like dip your toe into solo dates and like really get used to going out by yourself. The next one is taking yourself out to lunch. I really like this one as an option because I feel like lunch is low-key slept on, and I love that for me. Okay, maybe on a weekday. Because on the weekend, people be going out to eat. But like people do brunch. I feel like it's like brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, at least here. And I don't go to brunch by myself. Like I don't really have a desire to go to brunch by myself. I'm not really a brunch person per se. I don't really like eggs. So I love lunch because like breakfast, I mean, yeah, you could go to breakfast by yourself. But I feel like lunch is nice because you get like dinner-ish type foods, but it's not dinner time. So you're really there and you're not having to deal with like the dinner crowd, because on a weekend specifically, like a lot of people will go out to dinner. So if you're trying to go out to dinner, then you might find that if you're going out later, you might be around more people, and that could be a source of anxiety for you. So if you are doing dinner, I would say book an early dinner. The dinner that I mentioned earlier in the episode that I went on, I did like an early dinner. So for example, like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock might be the times that a lot of people start going to dinner, maybe even 9, right? I did a dinner at like 5, and that's a very early dinner, but I knew that if I go in for dinner at 5, it's not gonna be a lot of people there. I'm able to have the same dinner vibes, the same like, oh, okay, I'm out and about in my cute dress or whatever. But after that, I can go home and still have a bit of time to either see it, watch a movie at home, or I don't know, do whatever else I want to do at home. And I didn't have to deal with the anxiety of being around a lot of people for dinner. I think lunch is a really good option because lunch, like I said, you get actual food and you get an actual like experience. You can sit at the bar, you can sit at the table, and it's not typically as busy. And like I said, y'all use Google. Check on the Google to see when the places are busy. If that's something that really drives anxiety for you, like make sure that you're doing what you can to still push yourself outside of your comfort zone, but do it within a means that you're like, okay, I one step, and then the next time I take two steps, the next time I could take three steps, versus trying to go from 0 to 100 like very, very quickly. Another solo date that I love is going to the bookstore, picking out a book and sitting and reading. This is so fun, especially if you have like a Barnes & Noble in your area, or maybe it's like a smaller bookstore that has couches or a seating area. So you could like go browse the books, buy your book. Maybe they even have a cafe in the bookstore. You buy your little coffee and you sit down and read. This is a fun one. This is another one where it feels very intimate. It feels like you don't have to interact with a lot of people. And typically, I don't know about the bookstores near y'all, but when I go to Barnes & Noble, it's never really that busy. You know, thank God they are still in business, because sometimes I'd be like, how y'all make money? But literally, I love that whenever I go to Barnes & Noble and I take time to peruse the book aisles, I'm there for an hour or two, it is not really busy. The other thing too is if you like love books and you kind of want some social interaction for your solo date, I would go to the bookstore and just talk to the people that work there. Every time I go to Barnes & Noble and I'm like in a chatty mood and I chat up with the people that work there, they're so fun, and like they are definitely book nerds too. So we get into it about all thrillers, different authors, what books are coming in, what they just got in, and they could put you on to some new books. Like if you like a certain type of genre, genre, you'd be like, oh, I like this. I like thrillers, or I like psychology books, or I like this type of book. They could be like, oh, girl, let me put you onto some stuff. Let me show you some new stuff that you might not have read before. So that's another fun one. And like I said, you can get kind of social with that one too if you want to. Another fun one, going to a museum and walking around. I haven't done this one yet. I literally have it on my list to go to the art museum here. And I'm going to make it there one day, okay? I'm going to make it there one day. Y'all will see all my Instagram stories. We will go there together. But that's another fun one, because with the museum, it's another intimate date, right? So you could just buy your ticket in advance. You could show up there. You could peruse the art, and you could make it like a fuller solo date day. So maybe it's something like museum and then going out to lunch, or you know, museum, and then maybe you're going shopping after. I love to put two activities together. So whenever I go to see a movie, y'all will typically notice, because I show y'all on stories, usually I will go out to eat after. Like, that's kind of the grouping I have made. So usually I book my movie for earlier in the day, like the matinee one, because one, I'm saving money. It's like you save 30%. But two, that one I know is not going to be as packed, and I pre-buy my seat, so I know exactly where I'm sitting. I know I don't have to like sit near anyone. Although sometimes people will buy their tickets like right at the last minute and then sit like very close to me. And I'm like, we have a whole theater of like 200 seats and you're plopped right next to me. I love that. Love that. But no, I will like get the early movie seats and then, or the early movie tickets, and then I'll just go out to lunch after. So I really like that combination. So if you do something like visiting a museum or going to the bookstore or going to the movies, maybe you're having lunch after. Maybe you're doing something where you're fueling your body in that way after, and it's so much fun, or you're trying different restaurants, things like that. Another fun one is going to the park and having a nice little walk, or maybe even a mini picnic. This one, you know, maybe not fully for me. I'm not a picnic gal. I won't even lie to you. The bugs be scaring me. It really be the bugs for me. And sometimes grass kind of creeps me out too. I won't even lie to y'all. So I'm not a huge picnic gal, but I do like a walk in the park, or like going and swinging on the swings, things like that. So if you're a nature person, going for a walk or going for a hike, making sure that you're being safe, because I know sometimes like going for a hike, if there are not a lot of people around, like that can kind of be not like super, super safe. But go for a walk or a hike, however safe you feel, and then maybe do like a picnic or get some food after. Or another fun one could just be like a self-care day. So maybe you make a whole day of activities that you want to do. So maybe you start off the morning with like trying a new workout, then you go to a new smoothie place and get like a protein smoothie, and then maybe you go get a facial after. And then maybe you go to the bookstore, and then after that you go to lunch. I also really like that too, creating an entire day where it's like me and myself and hanging out with myself. Because one thing about me being outside all day is that when I'm ready to come home, I am so excited to come home. And then when you come home to like your bed and your house and like just you and your energy, it feels so much nicer, and you're able to appreciate it so much more because you spent the entire day out. You know, even if you're not necessarily being like fully social and chatting it up with a lot of people, it still takes energy to be outside and to be present outside and to not necessarily like be, you know, in your house and being a homebody for the entire day. Another fun one is a cooking class. I've done this one with my mom when she came to visit, and that was so much fun. I really want to do one by myself. So I'm probably going to do one either this year when I come back between the trips I'm taking for the rest of the year, or next year if not. So there's this store called Sur la Table. It's French, and that's why I'm saying it with that very awful accent. Okay, please do not judge. But it's a store that sells like kitchen supplies. So think, you know, your KitchenAid stand mixers and your pasta makers, things like that. But they also have cooking classes. So if there's one in your area, and chances are, if you're kind of in a major city or somewhere where, you know, you have a lot of like chain stores and things like that, you will find this store. It might be in your mall, it might be a standalone, but you will find it, and they have cooking classes, and you can sign up for cooking classes. Like, this would be a really good idea for a solo date. So they have things like baking classes, they have soup classes, they have seasonal ones as well. I was checking the schedule, and I noticed that for like October, November, they had a lot of like butternut squash classes and artisan bread, and really like just warm, cozy foods because of the season here. But obviously that's going to change in the summer. I'm sure the recipes are different. In the winter, I'm sure they're different too. But that's another fun one. If you are wanting to work on your cooking skills and you're wanting to learn some more, doing a class, like a cooking class, is really fun. You don't need to go with another person. You can, right? You can, but you can also take these classes by yourself and any other class too, for that matter. So maybe it's an art class, maybe it's a pottery class, maybe it's a dance class, anything where you are going out and choosing to try a new activity, a new restaurant, something that you would enjoy, you can create an entire solo date around that and you can make it fun. I think, again, we're so used to like hanging out with other people, and I think that's beautiful to have a community and to have friends and family and maybe a partner that you can hang out with and that you could spend time with and do these things with. But it's also fun to be able to do it by yourself. And the more that you take yourself on solo dates, the easier that it gets. Like, the more comfortable you become to go out and people watch and not bring your AirPods, the more comfortable you become with going out somewhere and knowing the menu or maybe knowing the staff that works there. And now you're building relationships with other people that maybe you would have never built relationships with before had you not put yourself outside of your comfort zone and gone somewhere by yourself. So going on solo dates is like literally the best thing ever. And I'm grateful to be in this chapter of my life where I really am in many ways like forced to learn how to be more comfortable with being alone. I've always been pretty comfortable with being alone, but this is like a different level of that. And while I'm grateful to have connections here of people that if I do want to go out to dinner with someone or grab coffee with someone, I can do that. A lot of time I still do choose to spend with myself and by myself because I know that I'm not always going to have this much time to spend with myself and by myself. It's kind of like how parents talk about, you know, when they have a child and they're like, oh, when they're a baby or when they're a toddler and they're young, they savor that time because they're like, they're not going to always be this age. They're growing and they're growing and they're growing. And there's going to be time where they go off to college or they go off to work or they go off to live somewhere else. And they are thinking back to those times and they're like, oh my gosh, I remember when like they were such a little baby and they were here and I could pick them up and hold them. It's the same thing for me. It's like, I know I'm not always going to have the time that I have now to be by myself and with myself. And so I'm trying to soak up every single moment of it. And whether you are single or in a relationship or whatever like your situation is, whether you have a lot of friends or not that many friends, like literally wherever you are in life, going on solo dates is something that's absolutely invaluable. So highly recommend that you guys set some time aside and go on these solo dates, whether it be monthly, bi-weekly, weekly. Just really take the time to honor yourself and to spend that time getting to know yourself. So I hope y'all enjoyed this episode and hopefully gave you some tips for some solo dates that you could try out, especially if you're like now getting into solo dates. I really hope that this inspired you to try something new and push yourself outside of your comfort zone. I appreciate y'all so, so much for being here. I will chat with you in the very next episode. Have a beautiful rest of your week and a beautiful day, my love. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.